Amen. Everything good? All right. So we have been looking at our confession and our mouth and how important that is, and hopefully that's helped you in your walk with God. And I thought I was done last week, but I really felt the Lord, Ben's we kind of been alluding to what I'm going to talk about today a little bit. I thought I would get into the idea of what it means to understand authority. And this is going to be either something that really kind of challenges us with our attitude and the things that God does with us. But a question I think that we need to answer is, are you better at taking orders or giving orders? Think about that for a minute. I'll be honest, I would rather be the one that tells somebody to dig a ditch than to be the one that digs the ditch, right? I think we all would. But how it is that you and I respond to and operate in authority can influence our spiritual life. It's very important. It's probably a subject that we don't really tap into to understand, because I really believe there's some things that sometimes are operating in our life under the radar, and we don't really maybe address those things or perhaps understand why some of the things in the kingdom of God aren't working as well in our life as we want. And I really feel that this subject here today can maybe help, stimulate and stir up some things in us, because we're going to look at a story in the Bible today that talks about this. It's found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 to 10. And this passage has always kind of amazed me a little bit of how it works. And hopefully, God will reveal some deeper things to us today. It's about the centurion. It says in Matthew 8, verses 8 to 10, it says, "But the centurion said, 'Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it.' Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, 'Truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for the authority that's in it. Lord, I thank you for just stirring up the gift inside of me. Lord, I want to use that gift for your glory. We bind up Satan from trying to steal the Word in any way, shape, or form. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you're the teacher, and I ask you to draw out things for each of our life. Wherever we're at in our walk with you, Lord, I know you have something for each of us. And Lord, I thank you for just bringing that home and helping it to bear fruit in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, a little bit of background about this story a little bit. Like I mentioned, I've touched on authority, but I just want to address it head on today. Now, it started off, Jesus was, doing his thing out among the people. And this centurion had a servant that was sick and was being tormented and, maybe towards death. And so he wanted to come up to Jesus and ask Jesus to heal his servant. Now, a little bit about a centurion. I'm going to do a little background information on this type of person. Maybe you know somebody like this, but hopefully you're not somebody like this. A centurion was in charge of 100 soldiers. And inside a legion, there was X amount of groups. And these centurions would lead these 100 people. Now, the reason back at this day the Roman army was so aggressive in how they would win so many battles and they would dominate is that they had a very strong organization and command structure. So it was all set up and established, and then they would go off and fight these other people, and they would not be as organized, and the Romans would just go in and either wipe them out, and then when they conquered some of them, they would enlist them into the army. Now the army back at this time, and they would usually be in serving military for 20 years. It was a 20-year commitment when you signed up for the military. And if you wanted to be a centurion, you had to be tough. Now, the Roman soldiers were known at that time for being very brutal, and they showed no mercy whatsoever. And when they went in to win. And if you wanted to be a centurion or go up through the ranks, what they did is they didn't have a West Point. You didn't go and take some sort of test and, you know, maybe just because you could march real good or, you know, swing a sword real good. No. The elite, they would ask to be on the front line. I don't know about you, but have you ever watched those old movies where two armies just run at each other full blast? To me, that's the most crazy thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, I'm more of a sniper type, you know, set in the background, pew, pew, pick them off. But anyway, they would just charge each other. And the ones who wanted to really grow and be advanced in the army, they would ask to be up front. They would be the first ones. Because the only way they could advance is they would have to be the most brutal and to kill people and to be the most strategic. And when they did that, they could advance up through the ranks and become maybe a centurion. And like I said, it's usually a 20-year commitment to be in the military. Sometimes it might take him anywhere up to 15 years if they ever achieved the rank of centurion. And the reason why it was good, a centurion made 20 times as much as a regular soldier. So there was some benefits to being up in this area. But they were a people that were very rough and tough. And when they went in, and so it's not the type of person that maybe would want to hang around with a lot. Because that advancement, they had to become a killing machine. And that's not the type of person that probably has a big social life around people. You know, because they've been involved in so many things like that. Now what's amazing is the fact this centurion had some sort of sympathy or empathy for one of his servants. I mean, he could have just went and got another servant. But what I feel is that he must have heard Jesus' preaching and Jesus' teaching and maybe had witnessed people being healed and maybe witnessed demons coming out, that when he knew and that word of God must have touched this brutal man's heart, and he went up and asked for Jesus to step into his situation. Which I don't know about you, but I've known some pretty rough customers in my day. And you didn't really go hang around them that much. And, you know, they looked sort of hopeless. And that's probably what this guy was until he heard Jesus Christ preach the Word of God. Because there's power that in the Word of God that can soften the hardest heart. And when this happened, things started to unravel, and then a great revelation took place, one that hopefully if you and I can grab a hold of this, because we never need to underestimate a loving God like this. Now, the point I want to get to, number two, is the idea was understanding authority. Now, this is something that you and I really don't probably like all the time, because authority can bring off some bad things. Now, maybe you were raised in a controlling home where mom or dad, you know, kind of controlled you. And so you bristle when it comes to the idea of understanding about somebody being in charge of you. And so it brings out all these memories, or maybe you've been in some bad situations. But I want us to just kind of, you know, just have a blank page today and help us to understand how authority works in our life. And if we can tap into that, I think we can walk in greater power here on this earth. And we can start to see greater things happen through us and to us. Amen? So that we can start to see God really move. Now, being in the military, now I wasn't. We have a few people here that have been in the military. But they understand the chain of command. And this centurion understood how authority worked in the military. And how that worked is he operated in delegated authority. Delegated authority from Caesar. Caesar was the head, technically, of the whole army, and then down through the ranks, they had different people in charge. But then each person who was under Caesar, they walked in this kind of delegated authority. And with that authority, what he said was like Caesar said it. Just like we have ambassadors today or military today, but ambassador might be one that you might better reason with. We have ambassadors sent to each country. Right now we have one at the UN, Nikki Haley. You know, when she speaks on behalf of our country, on behalf of our president. And what she says carries weight because she has delegated authority. Some of you are bosses maybe at work. And at work, you have delegated authority from your employer. And you have the ability to tell people, you know, things to do. Hopefully you don't let it go to your head. Now, I've always used that illustration. You know, back when I was an electrician out in Denver, I worked with a guy named Tom. And Tom and I were equals as far as rank in the company. And every now and then, like I mentioned, we would take turns running jobs. Well, all of a sudden, this Tom guy got this job. It was his turn to run it. And all of a sudden, he just changed. And he became more of a dictator, an authoritarian. All of a sudden, he never wore a cowboy hat in his life. I'd known him for years. All of a sudden, that day at work, he come wearing this goofy cowboy hat, wanting to, you know, stick out to everybody else that he was different, that he was separate from somebody. And he was real cocky acting. And he would just tell people what to do. He'd grouch and just like, you know, it just went to his head. Just weird. And there's some people that can't handle authority. We all know that. And hopefully we'll get to the place where we understand how it works and we won't be that person, because I'll be honest, you know, it was hard to follow his orders due to his attitude. But I did know that he was the foreman and we had to follow, you know, what he said. But, you know, understanding how delegated authority is very important. Now, Jesus, sometimes some things that we misunderstand is the fact when Jesus came, he emptied himself of his divine authority, correct? It says that in Philippians, I believe. And Jesus came down and walked as a man. He was the God-man. And then he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. So for that portion of time, the 33 years that he was on earth, he walked a little bit different. He always has been the Son of God, but yet he chose to take a different role for a while. And he chose to put himself under the Father. And he was operating in the delegated authority that the Father had given him, even though Father, Son, Holy Ghost are all equal. You see what I mean? And that kind of goes into submission and how that all plays into it, and we're not going to go deep into that today. But it's important to understand the idea that everybody has authority over them. And how you and I respond to that authority, I do believe it's going to affect our spiritual walk. And it's important that we try to understand. Now, bad authority, I understand, it's difficult to deal with, but I still think we could be able to walk in sort of maturity to be able to handle it. So the centurion, because this was kind of Jesus as part of his stomping grounds where he was quite a bit, I'm sure that he'd heard Jesus preach a lot and understand the things, how Jesus did. And I don't know about you, but other places in Scripture, it said when they heard Jesus, he didn't talk or teach like the scribes and the Pharisees. When Jesus said something, everybody could recognize the authority that was in those words. Have you ever said something and all of a sudden you felt the Holy Ghost was speaking through you? Boom. I mean, that's kind of what that's like. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when he spoke, you know, things happened and it pierced people's hearts, you know, and it went beyond their head and went down inside of them. And he'd probably seen, like I said, Jesus preach and heal and cast out demons and the power that's in his words. And you know, we sometimes have a misunderstanding. Now, the later movies that we've seen recently are not as bad. But when I was a kid growing up, they usually made Jesus out to be some wimp. You know, some scraggly looking little runt walking around just getting, you know, just didn't look like somebody that could have any authority at all. But I'll tell you what, when Jesus came on the scene, there's a bunch of demons got nervous. You know, they were afraid of him. Because there was something about him, and that's the fact that he was a Son of God and he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they knew who he was and they knew the authority that's inside of him. And to be honest, we have delegated authority in our life that I believe that we haven't tapped into. Mainly because all the things maybe going on in our life, maybe it's the fact that we don't feel we can. Maybe we're like the centurion. You know, he said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. You know, we have this mentality that maybe we're just not good enough. But God wants us to turn that around. I'm not talking be cocky like Tom. I don't want a bunch of Toms to be developed today, you know what I'm saying? But I'm wanting us to grab a hold of the Word of God, because we are in God's army. The centurion was in the Roman army, but we're in God's army. And God has given us the weapons of our warfare. And this whole series about the confession of our mouth, the fact that if we have more people waging war and to be able to walk in the authority that Jesus Christ has given us, you know, we can do more damage to the devil's kingdom. Because the Bible says the god of this world is blinding the hearts and minds of the people and the eyes they can't see. So it's only natural that you and I go in there and we fight the good fight of faith, and we try to, because it's a spiritual battle that we have, and if we can start to walk in this and start to see people set free. Now, they have a free will to choose, but I believe that we can do everything possible on our part as a believer to be able to push back the devil's powers and to be able to help people to make a right decision. Because there's a lot of people whose minds are clouded. They walk in a cloud. And we have to be able to break them free. And some of those people that I'm talking about may be people that we love. And we don't want them to be separated from God for all eternity. So that's why it's important that you and I get to the place where we understand just what it is that Jesus has called us to do. Now, when the centurion started to explain his role in life, he didn't say, "Bless God, I'm a centurion, I got 100 people under me, and I'm, you know, oh yeah, I'm under authority." No, he led with, first thing he said is, "I'm a man under authority." Then he said, "I'm in authority." So our attitude needs to be understood first is that we need to understand we're under authority. Everybody's under authority somewhere. No matter where you go in life, no matter what we do, there's somebody who is in charge of us. Now, you have authority in your life. Let's say at your home. You may go, like, let's say a policeman. Now, there is ways that police can come into your house. But primarily, if you, if you're in your house and a policeman doesn't have rightful cause to come into your house, a search warrant, they can say, "Can I come in?" No. "I'm coming in anyway." No. If they come in, they're breaking the law. Because they don't have authority past that door. Because you have that authority. So everybody has some sort of authority in life. And we need to understand how that really works. Now, how do you respond to that authority? Now, I probably would say, "Go ahead and come in," because I technically don't have anything to hide that I know of. Do I, guys? No. Oh, my wife and boy said no, no. So anyway, you know, so how we respond to that authority can tell. Now, the centurion was under authority, so he had that attitude that somebody was over him. Now, when we truly have an attitude that our attitude is somewhat submissive to those over us, that's when God trusts us, I believe, with more authority. Because there's times in our life when we can have a bad attitude, and it's very dangerous when we do that, because we have to understand that each of us, when we walk in authority, we can only walk in the level of authority that we've been given. Just like in any military thing, there's ranks in the military. And I do believe that sometimes God is somewhat predestined, you know, certain people to have certain levels of authority in the kingdom of God. But also the fact that we limit ourselves due to lack of faith and due to rebellion in our hearts. Now, that kind of hurts sometimes, but I know I have rebellion in my heart. I mean, it doesn't devastate me. It just tells me that I need to get my head on straight and to be able to understand and walk in the things, you know, that God's called me to do. Because as a centurion walked in behalf of Caesar, we know Jesus spoke on the behalf of the Father, and that we speak on the behalf of Jesus. Do you really see yourself as that? That you're an ambassador? That you're somebody that speaks on behalf of Jesus Christ? Now, I'll be honest. When I first came off the street and went into a church and somebody told me that, I said, "Man, you're crazy. You're crazy. There's no way I speak on behalf of God." But when I started to read the Bible, when I started to find out what the Word of God said about me, that I'm not an old, I don't have that old life no more. I have a new life. You know, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that God has given me authority to rule and reign with Him, and that He wants me to go out and advance the kingdom of God. See, I'm not advancing my kingdom. I'm advancing His kingdom because it's His delegated authority. If you and I do not advance God's kingdom will not get advanced. Because it's our responsibility. That's part of being in relationship with Jesus Christ and being able to walk in the power that he has. Now, how can we walk in authority if we're not willing to honor authority? That's very difficult, I believe. I want to ask you a question, but please don't answer it, especially if you have a bad attitude. Other than we can pray for you, maybe. How do you feel today about your employer or your supervisor? How do you feel about them right now? That's an honest question, isn't it? As a Christian, it's hard. I'll be honest, years ago, I think I mentioned this before, is that there was something on Facebook and I shared it. And it wasn't a bad word or nothing, but it was against one of our previous presidents. And it had something derogatory that it said about them. It was kind of funny. It was a deer antler that spelled out something. So I thought it was kind of cute. I hit the share button, and within 5 seconds, I felt bad on the inside. Because I may not have agreed with the man, but he still was in authority. He was our president. And what I shared was disrespectful to him in his office. And see, that was the Holy Spirit. So I went on there and I deleted it real quick. I mean, I know it's probably out there in cyberspace somewhere, and some of you probably look it up. But it was really funny. I'll be honest with you. It was funny. But for me, where I'm at with my walk with God and what I know about authority, I had stepped over one of my lines. You know, maybe 20 years before that wouldn't have bothered me a bit. But where I'm growing at now, I can't get away with that, especially in the office as a pastor and as a minister of God. So it taught me something. You know, it's hard when we deal in life and you're dealing with people, you know, who have bad authority resembling and speaking into our life. And I know it's difficult, but I just want to encourage you today to don't look to the person, but look to the office and who they are. And if you can honor and respect the office, I believe God's going to start to do, because, you know, my attitude towards authority changed a lot after I got saved. You know, my attitude, now I never had a lot of hatred towards the police or anything like that. Some do. But whenever I seen a policeman, I would get nervous. It's not that I was breaking any laws very much, maybe a little bit. You know, maybe speeding or something. But my attitude, I seen the police as sort of the enemy. Because they were trying to take my fun away. You know? And then after I got saved, God totally turned my attitude around. That now I really see the police for who they really are. They're an authority figure in our life that we need to stop chaos and confusion and pain and hurt coming into our life. They protect us from bad people. And we need to see them like that. We need to respect them. All levels of authority, if we can get to the place like the centurion, I'm sure the centurion didn't like every order that was given to him. When he was told to go take this hill or do something, maybe some of them were kind of dangerous, but yet he obeyed and he started to walk in the plan, you know, that he had to do, that it was part of his life. He was in the military and he had to follow orders. And, you know, even though, you know, it's kind of scary sometimes, you know, we need to be able to walk in that level of obedience, and we do that, I believe God will exalt you. I've always said, when I'm on a new situation, and we're going like to go work on something or go do something or go be a part of a project, the first thing I look to is somebody in charge. I try to find the person who's in charge, the one who's responsible, because that's who I answer to. Now, I've worked in certain situations, and I'm not going to mention because there might be people who like these sort of things, but working construction, there was a certain group that had a different philosophy, and they're not always just in construction, but they would always be on the job, and they would speak against management. And they would try to say, it's us against them, meaning the worker against management. And they would try to get you weaseled off and try to get you to say, you know, that you got to join us because we're against the management, because the man or the people, they make all the money and they don't give us enough of our share. So they continually just speak against the boss and everything. And that's not my attitude. My attitude has never been that. My attitude is, the reason why this person hired me is to make them money. If I make them money, they will take care of me. That's my attitude. That's why they hired me. If I don't like it, move on. If I can't handle that, just go get another job. Simple as that. But I would work around these people, and they would try to come in and undermine authority. And what that does, it just speaks evil against those in charge. And it's really not God's way. Now, I'm not saying there ain't proper ways of dealing with bad authority. And there is some ways to do that, but, you know, we just don't need to do it a wrong way. Now, the last point is the idea of just speaking the word, and that ties into where I want to go. And I really believe that if we're going to have faith confession, understanding authority and walking in authority, and you have to know what you say is going to come to pass. Now, Mark 11 talks about that. I don't know if we'll do that next week or not. But when you believe what you say is going to come to pass, you know, you start to walk in a greater level of authority. And I don't know about you, but one of the greatest authorities I believe on the earth, you know, is God, but also it's truth. Truth is a high form of authority. You can't fight against the truth because it is what it is and there's no changing it. Now, Jesus, it says here, marveled at the centurion's faith. Now, all the people in Israel, all these Jews, since the time they were little, had been raised in the synagogue and had been told about God. They've been told about God's miraculous power, how God parted the Red Sea, how God, you know, Elijah called down fire, all these stories about the power of God. And the centurion had been raised as a heathen, had been out doing brutal, savage killing, taking over countries. But yet God used something in the natural in that centurion's life to bring a spiritual truth home. And that was the understanding of authority. And so Jesus marveled, meaning he was astonished that this centurion, who had no biblical background, shall we say, had some great revelation of the power of God. So don't think you have to be some great Bible school student to walk in authority in God's kingdom. All you have to do is have faith. That's all you got to have, is to walk in faith and to believe what God said is going to come to pass. Now, this spiritual concept got Jesus' attention. And we live in this world, you and I live in this natural world that we see, that we feel, that we touch, you know, we see and all these things, but yet we have access to a spiritual world. And that's where it gets kind of dicey for some of us. We get, you know, you can go all spooky on it, and some people get all weird about the spiritual realm. But nevertheless, you know, there's natural things that we can understand that'll help us in our spiritual walk. As I mentioned always before, faith gets Jesus' attention. And that faith is our connect point, and words are our release point. And that's what I want us to see today. Faith is how we connect to God, but words is how we release it. Now, maybe you have somebody in your life, or maybe you have something going on that you need to see God intervene in your life. God says for us to believe in our heart, but then we need to speak it. Now, how often do you have to speak it? I guess until it comes to pass. Just keep believing and standing strong on the Word of God. Now, I'll be honest, a lower percentage of people do this in the body of Christ. I'm not going to lie to you. This is a message that, you know, like last week's message, it's not a message that everybody wants to tap into, because it takes a little bit of effort on your part in the sense where you need to be in the Word a little bit. Because remember, I said that truth is authority, and the greatest authority I found for you and I that keeps us on the straight and narrow is the Word of God. Understanding what God says about the situation. You know, that old thing where somebody said they was praying and God told them that, you know, they're supposed to do something, let's say, you know, kick their spouse to the curb, and the spouse wants to stay with them. Well, that's not That's not what the word says then, is it? God says to stick it out and be with them. You know, there is reasons to, I guess, do the other, but, you know, we need to stick with God's word. And maybe you've made that mistake before, but from now on, you know, I would just try to trust God's word and walk in obedience to that. See, the natural man can't understand these things. They're foolishness, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. They're spiritual things. And God wants us to tap over where we live in this world, but we're not of this world, but also we have access to the spiritual world. And where we can tap into that and start to bring the things in the spirit, you know, down into the natural world. I do believe that God wants us to be more evangelistic. Now, just a little bit of information about that. Just go, you can do it two ways. You can go up and tell somebody about Jesus, or you can spend a little time praying for them before you go up and talk to them about Jesus. Well, I would say praying for them before you go do it will help immensely. You know, praying that God will bind up the, you know, praying that, you know, you bind up the principalities and powers and rulers and things that's holding them back, and pray that God will soften their heart and be open to the gospel. You know, we need to do those things. Now, there's power that's in the word. Psalms 107:20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So God just didn't do that in the New Testament, but God also did that in the Old Testament, where God sent His word and healed them. So when we speak out life and we speak that we're coming against these things, you know, in this world that is holding people back, see, we can't see into the heavenly realm. Unless you have maybe the gift of discerning of spirits or things like that, God may give you a vision, I don't know, or a dream. But all these things are possible. But, you know, when we speak into these things, the spirit realm, you know, we want to see change, but when our words are filled with faith and that we understand that we have delegated authority from God, that we speak these words out, we expect things to change. We expect them to happen. And that's part of our role as a believer in the kingdom of God. So our words are empowered by the authority behind them. Then the centurion understood this. He had 100 people under him, and he understood when he said, go do this. And they do it. When he was told to go do something by the person over him, here's his mentality. He would do it or he would die trying. Because if he was a coward, they would have killed him anyway. That's just the way it was. They didn't accept cowardice. So when we speak out the word of God, we need to expect things to happen and start to believe it and start to see it happen and manifest in our life so we can see change happen. Because I do believe that our culture is eroding. Now, God gave me a picture this morning. Have you ever seen erosion? You know, like water had run through a field and a little ditch starts and it keeps digging and digging and digging and it's deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's what happens when water runs real fast over the soil. It can cut away. And I really believe in our culture over the years, especially lately, that erosion has been taking place in our minds and in our hearts, where the enemy has been speaking all these lies. As I've always said, you know, the idea of, you know, our culture today has trouble with absolutes. See, the Bible is absolute. It's God's truth. It's truth. Truth is an authority. But many people today, young people, they don't believe that Jesus is the only way. Maybe we've dropped the ball. Maybe it's just an attack on the enemy. But whatever, erosion has taken place. And there's a lot of erosion that takes place in our hearts. And it tries to undermine our faith and wash our faith away and get us just to live in the natural instead of being able to walk in the supernatural. Now, the supernatural is not some big spooky thing where, you know, angels show up and haul you around. It's just not natural. It just means you're tapping into God and you have a connection with Him. and you're starting to hear him, you're starting to walk in obedience to what he has for our lives. And I believe that's for everybody. God is not a respecter of persons. God loves us all the same. We just need to love him back. That's all he asks, love him back. Jesus says, you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So as we walk in that power and we start to see that, we start to see things happening and changing in people's lives, we know that the power of God is real. Just think about it, people. You know, look how God has changed your life. I don't know how much he's changed your life, but he's changed my life from where I was to where I am now. That's just all God. There's power in God's word. It changed the way I think. It changed the way I look at things. It changes the way I interact with other people. It's not about me. It's about all of us. It's about God. And see, that only happens when the Word of God comes into our life and it starts to change. You know, I was no centurion, you know what I mean? I wasn't that brutal or that evil. But the power of God's Word can change anybody. Don't ever give up on anyone. We do that, don't we, sometimes? I've heard people say, just kidding, oh, there's no hope for that one. Oh, no, they'll never change. Ha! Huh. They said that about me. When I was in Denver, right after I got saved, I'd been saved about a year or two. I knew enough to be dangerous, and I didn't know you wasn't supposed to volunteer for stuff, but I did, because I just thought you had to get involved. And, you know, these people had visited the church, and I knew them from Iowa. And, you know, I worked with the guy a little bit. And when I met him, he says, you know, I never would have thought I'd ever see you in a church. Never. I thought there was no hope for you. I go, whoa. I knew I was bad, but I didn't think I was that bad. He says, no, I never. Because what I did is I volunteered to go and pray for people that made a pledge to the church financially, and their family made a pledge. And, you know, I'd never prayed in front of anybody in my life. I didn't know what to say, but I did know that they didn't know that I knew that. As far as they knew, I was representing our church. I was an ambassador. So I read up on how to pray a little bit and saw some little doodad prayer I put together and kind of memorized it and went to their house and I prayed with them. That's when they told me that story. Now, I'll be honest, I've had somebody just in the last year from around here said they never thought I would have made it, so I don't know. I must have been farther lost than I thought. I thought I was all right, you know what I mean, within reason. But, you know, that just amazed me. But see, never underestimate the power of God. Never underestimate what God can do in somebody's life. You know, don't give up on anybody. And as long as there's breath, there's hope. So as we wind this down here, I want us to know that, you know, when we speak or confess the Word of God, it has the authority of God behind it. And that the more we understand about authority, the more we walk in authority. And if we're struggling with that in our life, I encourage you to surrender to God today. And just ask God, God, help me. I need your grace. I need your power working in my life to deal with this person at work, this boss of mine. And they may be a jerk. I ain't going to lie to you. But how many knows that God can give us grace for a jerk? Amen. I believe he can. He can give us that grace. And that we can understand and start to respond to authority in a way. And I believe in doing so, it's going to help us to walk in a greater depth of authority in the kingdom of God. And to be able to see God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's pray.